Well, I certainly appreciate the good songs today. Two of those songs, Sheltered in the Arms of God and then God on the Mountain, there's no two songs that could have better set the stage for the message that the Lord has given me today. And I'd like to ask for an interest in your prayers. And if you'd like to read with me today, then turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And from this 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, I want to begin my reading lesson with the first verse and read through verse 8. Jeremiah 17, the first 8 verses. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And again, that is reading from Jeremiah chapter 17, the first 8 verses of that chapter for a scripture reading here this morning. And I want to use a title today, and that being God's Provision Through Man's Trust. I want you to, in fact, I'm going to read the last 2 verses again that I read from the lesson. I want you to really give thought here about what we were being told here in this book of Jeremiah. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And what I want to talk about today in this message and the thoughts that the Lord has given me and placed on my heart is the great benefits to the human family that come from placing your trust in the Lord. And really, isn't it a difficult task for us many times when we hear songs like we heard this morning, how that we are sheltered in the arms of God, and how that the God that's the God on the mountain, when you're up, when you're doing well, when everything's good, God is God, but when you go down into the valley, when you descend into the valley through some type of trial or whatever it may be, God's still God down there too, isn't he? He's still God. But doesn't it seem difficult for us? And you can answer this question in your own heart. I don't have to try to answer it for you. You know what? I don't have to be responsible, I suppose, for anybody's but mine. But in some ways anyway. But we can ask ourselves this question in our own heart. And you ask yourself and you ask God to help you to search your heart. Doesn't it seem like it's a difficult task for us so many times to just grasp that? To just hang on to that. That God is in control. That God is all powerful. That God is all knowing. That God is a loving and a merciful God. That God is the God of our good times in life, but he's also the God during our trying times of life. That we are sheltered in the arms of God. And I suppose today that my thoughts go out primarily to those who are saved, to those who are the children of God, because I'm convinced of this from what I read in the scriptures and what I learn and what I have learned by experience, that God does absolutely take care of his children. God takes better care of his children than any parent ever has. And I believe it's in the 7th chapter of Matthew where Jesus asked the question concerning earthly parents and our heavenly Father. And he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those that ask him? How much more will God bless and provide for and be merciful to and love his own children even well above that which we are able to do as earthly parents? I've had a thought on my heart. God really spoke to me just a few weeks back, and it amazes me sometimes how that the Lord, things that God will use to make an impression on our heart. And again, in the 8th verse here, it said that the man that trusts in the Lord shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And a few weeks back, right in the middle of the afternoon, we just had a horrendous storm. All of a sudden, I mean, it just came out of nowhere, and the wind began to blow really hard. I mean, really forceful winds. I remember they were talking on the Weather Channel. They were saying that in this area that we may even experience 65 to 70 mile an hour winds. And the rain began to fall real hard. It was just a really quick, hard storm that came up. And I had planted a garden, and I had some squash plants back there. And they had really gotten tall, and they were beginning to bear, and they had little squash on them. And when that storm came, I thought about my plants. I thought, it's going to ruin my plants. And I was even in the house, and I raised the blind, and I looked out the blind and looked back there, and I mean, it just had those plants rocking. And after the storm settled, I walked back there, and I looked at those plants, and they were just laid over. I mean, that wind just laid those plants back. And I thought, well, I wonder if they're destroyed. And then I got down there and I started looking at them and I noticed that none of them were uprooted. It hadn't blown any of them out of the ground. They were still rooted in the ground. And so I wondered what would become of them. And I went out there the next day That morning, I went out there the next morning to check on them, and when I walked back there, you couldn't even tell that the wind had ever hit them. They were green and they were standing up. They looked just like they had before the storm ever come. And right when that happened, standing right there by the edge of my garden, God gave me the sweetest thought, spoke to me and gave me the sweetest thought. And that is that that's, I believe, the way that we are as the children of God. You know what? We are rooted. We're rooted. And, you know, things may come along from time to time and knock us flat. The storms of life may come and the winds of life may blow and we may get beat up at times and we may get knocked flat. But, you know, the Bible teaches me that if you are rooted and grounded in love, in the love of God, that everything will be all right. And I'll tell you what I believe today. I believe very strongly in the power of God in the lives of His people. But the benefits of God come through God to those that place their trust in the Lord. And there is a lot of anxiety in our world today. There's a lot of depression in our world today. There's a lot of people that are worried constantly about a lot of things. And not only in the world today, but many times among the people of God, among our churches, there are people that have a great deal of anxiety about things or are worried about things. But, you know, we need to cling to God. I'll tell you what, you'll never do anything any better when you are down there in the valley, when things are trying you and things are troubling you. You will never do anything better than this. You'll never find a better remedy than this. I don't care who you look to or what you look to. You'll never find anything any better than this. And that's just reaching out and taking hold of the unchanging hand of God and placing your trust in the Lord and believing that God will indeed take care of His elect. I believe He will. I believe the Bible teaches us very plainly that He will. And I'm going to share some of those verses with you, Lord willing, here before the message is over. But there are great benefits. In fact, honestly, and I think that we need to admit this about ourselves because this is the best place to start, the best place to find the cure. When we are worried about everything, you know, I think sometimes we look too far ahead to begin with. You know, the Lord Jesus taught us that He wanted us to live day by day, didn't He? He said, don't be worried so much about things tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow, what you'll put on, what you'll eat and drink, for tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And, you know, when we read these things and we study these things, sometimes the simplest thoughts come to my mind. And I thought about one of those this morning that if God helps you through the day, if you don't look at anything but today, if you look way out there in the future about things, and really when you think about it, what's the sense in worrying and fretting about a time that you don't even know if it's going to come? You don't even know if it's going to get here. And if it does get here, you don't know if you're still going to be here. You don't know if you're still going to be one of those that are living. And I think that that's the way that Jesus wanted us. And I believe that is what He meant for us to do, is to take things a day at a time. And when you stop and think about that, if God today supplies your need and you make it through the day today, can He not do the same thing for you tomorrow? If there is another day, can he not bless that day as well? Isn't that what Jesus taught his disciples when he taught them that model prayer? Did he teach them to pray about things that were 10 years down the road? Did he not teach them, give us today our daily bread? Sure he did. Sure he did. We can't plan the future, because we have no way of knowing what's out in the future. You can worry about it and you can fret about it all that you want. But you don't know whether you're going to be here. You don't know whether any of us are going to be here. And there is something to be said in praying to God, give us today our daily bread. My feet are planted. If you've been saved, friends, your feet are planted. Amen. They're planted. You can look at them, and I believe rightfully so, you can look at yourself just like that tree planted by the water, where there's going to be plenty of water for the root system. You can look at that tree that's planted by the waters and the roots spreading out. And if you've been saved by God's grace, you are the same way. You have been rooted in the Lord. I believe that what Jeremiah was saying here is essentially the same thing that David was saying in the 40th Psalm when he blessed God and praised God for bringing him up out of a horrible pit, for bringing him up out of the miry clay, for placing his feet on a rock and establishing his goings. That's what the Lord has done for all of us that have been saved by his grace. You stop and think about this for a moment. If you've been saved by God's grace, think about all of the benefits that have already been received because your heart trusted in the Lord. Because it trusted in the Lord. Does God give us benefits? I mean, those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we know our eternal destination. We know that we are headed for a better land than this. We know that we have a better home than what we've ever had down here. We know that one day we're going to shine together forever as the stars of heaven. We know that one day in heaven we'll be there with God and we'll never have any more worries. But I'm going to tell you something, that God gives us benefits. There are benefits that accompany salvation that we experience in this life as well. As we make the journey, the benefits that God bestows upon his children through salvation are not only future benefits, but God bestows them upon us while we walk here in this life. David, in his prayer in the 116th Psalm, made mention of them. After that he had sought the Lord and after God had given peace to him, David asked this question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" He mentioned the benefits of God in another place, and you know what he said? He didn't just say the Lord loads us up with benefits that we're going to experience out there in the future, but he said that God loads us with benefits daily. Daily. When you were raising your children, were you good to them one day? One day did you feed them and protect them, and then the next day just neglect them? No, you took care of them day after day. Well, God does that for his children, except he does it a lot better than we could for ours. He loads us daily with benefits. And so oftentimes when we become anxious And when we become worried, and when we become fretful about things, and when we just worry about the way that things are going to turn out, and that's hard for us. It's a challenge for us as human beings not to do that. But I want to tell you today what I believe the truth about that is. You may agree with it, or you may disagree with it, but today I'll preach what I believe. I've got the floor right now, and I'll preach what I believe God has shown me, and what I believe that when we entertain those thoughts, when we feel that way, the problem is that we're not trusting in the Lord. We're not trusting Him. We're not giving over these things to God. And so we worry about them. We think about how that we can work them out. We think about what we can do. But I'll tell you what, friends, listen, there's nothing that you can ever do, or there's nothing that I can ever do to resolve a situation the way that God can. We benefit from placing our trust in the Lord. There are some things that hold true for the people of God. There's some scriptures that I made note of today that I want to share with you. I love this verse. This is something that David said he had experienced in his life. It's recorded in the 37th Psalm in verse 25. David said, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread?" In the 32nd Psalm, in verse 10, he said, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." You know, the Bible never promised us, and I've preached this to you before. The Bible never promised us that our life would be without trials, did it? The scriptures never promised us that. The Lord never promised us that, that our life would be trouble-free. We're going to have that one day. That's yet to come. But the Lord Jesus Christ never promised us that our life on earth would be trouble-free. But I'll tell you what I believe He has promised us and assured us of through His Word, that for every trial He has grace sufficient, that for every temptation He has a way of escape. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and He suffered and He died for every man. He gave His life up on the cross of Calvary so that everybody that would come to Him could be saved by His grace. But those that fail to trust in Him are not going to benefit from it. And those of us as His children that don't trust in Him are not going to benefit from His sustaining grace the way that we could if we would place our faith and trust in the Lord. I love the account of Paul and Silas in jail there in Philippi. The Bible says that they were thrust into the inner prison. They weren't out. You know, you see people today, a lot of times in the American system, you see people that are held prisoner. They're out in a big yard where the sun's shining on them and they're lifting weights and stuff. That wasn't the way that Paul and Silas were in prison. They were cast into the inner prison. They were in a dungeon, if you please. They were in a deep, dark, dingy, no doubt, a wet and a damp place. And they were in a horrible situation with their feet made fast in the stocks. And I love to read about that because even in that incarceration, we don't read about Paul and Silas there saying, "Oh no, oh what are we going to do? Oh my goodness, I sure hope that maybe somebody in the court system will be able to help us in this way." The Bible tells me that when they were in that situation, that about midnight they prayed. They begin to pray to God and they sing praises to God Friends, listen, I'll tell you what. As the people of God, if you really want to honor the Lord with your life, if you really want to give God the praise that's due to His holy name, we ought to be able to praise Him when things are well with us. And we ought to be able to sing praises to His name when we find ourselves in desperate conditions. If you really want to honor the Lord, we need to do both of those things. Paul and Silas prayed, and they began to sing praises to their God. And how do you imagine they felt when those shackles fell off? When the power of the Lord shook that place and set them free. I'll tell you what, I think today we know how that feels. If you think about the experiences where God has delivered you from something, then you know how that feels. I know what it is to be set free from sin. I remember how it felt when God set my soul free, when those shackles of sin fell off and God set me free. I know how it felt because I was there when it happened. What a wonderful thing. What great benefits there are to be received from trusting in the Lord. There's many temptations that befall us in this life. And when the Bible talks about temptations, it's not always just talking about the devil trying to, draw you away to some type of lust or something. It's often talking about the trials that we face. If you go back to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where Abraham was taking Isaac up to Moriah there to offer him as a sacrifice under God's direction, you'll find there that the Bible says that God tempted Abraham. He did tempt Abraham. God doesn't tempt us with sin. The Bible tells us that God cannot be tempted of sin, neither does He tempt any man. But oftentimes when we read about being tempted, it's having reference to being tried. And God will try our faith. He will. And Peter, I believe it was the Apostle Peter, said that the trial of our faith is something that's precious. It's much more precious than gold. How close would we stay to God if we never had a problem? What do you think? If we never had a trial, if we never had the valleys, you know, we ought to give thanks for the valleys in our lives, because I believe they keep us close to the Lord. So here was Abraham. You can think about your own problems for a little while, and you stack them up here and you think about Abraham. Here was this man that God had promised him this son, and he made good on his promise, and he gave him that son. And then he comes to him and he says, I want you to take him now. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice, the place where I'm going to show you. Abraham took his son. He went to that place where God had showed him. They began to descend the mountain there, or ascend up to the mountain. And Isaac said, well, Father, I see the wood. You know, I see the knife, I see all the things that are necessary, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? What was Abraham's answer to him? Genesis 22, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And He did. Many years later, He did. He actually provided a physical ram in that moment to spare Isaac's life, but the one he was really talking about, many years later, he provided him. Jesus came and fulfilled that prophecy. And he died for our sins, and he resurrected from the dead, And he ascended back to heaven, and he sits now at the right hand of God, making intercession for our prayers. And the Bible teaches us that he is our faithful and merciful high priest, in that he was in all points tempted or tried like we are, yet without sin. And when we go to him and we take our petitions before him, there's not anything that we ask of him that he doesn't understand, because he's experienced what it was to live here in the flesh. If you want to have a good life, if you want to have a life, I believe that at the end of it, when you're an old person reaching the end of your life, if you want to have a life that you can look back over and you can see all of those monuments, and you can see all those Ebenezer stones, and you can see all those places where God came and helped you in a time where he was your only hope, then you need to place your trust in the Lord. If you want to be like a tree planted by the waters, that's got this great root system that's not going to be uprooted, if you want to be like that, you place your trust in the Lord. If you want to be tossed about to and fro all through your life, then you just worry about everything and try to work out everything by yourself. That's about where you'll end up. But if you want to have a peaceful existence throughout this life, you place your trust in the Lord and lay things down at his feet, and you'll be like that tree planted by the water. God will fulfill his promise. I want to share another verse with you before I stop today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I'm convinced of this one thing. I don't know what will happen to me in life. I never have. If you would have asked me 30 years ago where I'd be today, there's no way I could have told you. I don't know what will happen to me in life. None of us do. We don't know what will happen beyond, what we're sitting here right now. We don't know what will happen this afternoon. I have no idea. I can't tell the future. But I'll tell you something I'm convinced of, that whatever it is, God has sufficient help for it. God has sufficient grace. And I believe that God's going to take care of me. I don't know how he'll do it. You know what? That's up to him. It may not be exactly like I think, but I believe God's going to take care of me. I believe he has been taking care of me from the day I became his child. He's been taking care of me, and I believe he's going to take care of me throughout my life. I believe it's going to be just like David said. When he spoke about God, he said, "Thou shalt guide me by thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory." He's going to take care of his children if we will turn to him and place our trust in him. God is going to take care of the situation. Thank you for your attention today. Anyone have anything on your heart? Bless you, Sister Wilson. Let's remember her request. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Collins. Anybody else have a word? Thank you. Thank you, brother. Remember service tonight at 6. I have another message on my heart that I'd like to bring tonight, so I'm planning on bringing the message tonight, so pray for me this evening. Please come back for the service at 6 o'clock tonight. Remember the funeral service for Brother Woosley's mother this afternoon, and I appreciate all of you being here today. Anybody else, anything on your heart before we have the benediction? Amen. 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 Bless you, Sister Jeannie. Let's remember this. All hearts free? If so, I want to ask you to stand together. One of